This is the M Zone.
And welcome to the M Zone. Jamie Morris. I'm in my big ass basement watching my big screen TV on the Big Ten Network watching Iowa's head coach Kurt Ferentz talking to the press. How he made it to the Big Ten championship.
We do not care.
And he's just saying no nonsense. Hey, gee golly whiz, and all the things that Midwesterners say. We were lucky
damn,
to get
son.
Here. All of the things that happen. It just happens. That's the way it is. We got Matt, the hitman, Mizler. He's back from his little layover. And we have Maddie Boom Boom Lee. You got fire on yourself? What's up with that?
I was just trying to get the lighting right since you were giving me a hard time about the video the other day. Trying to make this bright, shiny face even brighter. Did Kirk drop in the most important part of the reason why he got to Indianapolis in that Big Ten championship game? Nebraska-ing again. Pump block touchdown.
And Minnesota rode the boat.
Giveaway touchdown.
And Minnesota rode the boat.
Okay. He's not talking about Minnesota. He is talking about the Nebraska game, how his team fought back and fought back hard. He is saying those things. But one of the coaches that they respect the most in the Big Ten, I'm talking about other coaches, is Kurt Ferentz. He is probably the elder statesman of the Big Ten coaches, Big Ten football coaches. I mean, I think he's the oldest of all of them. So I'm thinking, gotta be
the longest tenured.
I mean, he came in and he just said, I was listening, of course. I'm sorry, we do not care, Miz. But he came in 81. I mean, that's a long freaking time, I guess.
Damn,
you know,
son.
For me, that being said, he's been to the Big Ten championship before, and he's looking forward to taking on a Michigan team that he thinks very highly of. And he says they're excellent on tape. Can't wait to meet them in person. So just letting you know, had a nice conversation.
We're excellent in person too. Oh, yeah. Just
had a nice conversation with Chuck Long, longtime quarterback of University of Iowa back in the 80s, the mid late 80s back in my day. I'll say this for him, that's the biggest game in Iowa's history. Okay. So that's what he says, and he goes, I hope it's its biggest 85. That's what he said to me. I hope it is biggest 85. And I went,
that's our,
me too.
That's I our said, 69 yeah. Ohio State. That's the but one that people,
the one that,
it's easy to point out what's the single greatest victory.
The
and that's the one
that,
they always
the
say at Iowa.
The thing that hits me the most is that, you know, Iowa did not play Michigan and he was upset about that. They were all upset not being able to play Iowa-Michigan in the regular season. And I said, that's the Big Ten scheduling. And he goes, I know, but we should always play Michigan because it's what we get up for. And I'm like, wow, you guys take that Michigan pretty serious. I gathered that. And look, it's going to
so
be.
So that's.
You're going in.
That's
and out.
Every
that
team in the Big Ten.
Okay. Look, yes.
Am I good?
Yes. Usually I would say yes to that, but not everybody does want to play Michigan. Not all the time, but it does put butts in seats. That makes me think about the two biggest games that were seen this year in college football were the number one one, Michigan, Ohio State. The number two one, Michigan, Michigan State. The two, what's the common denominator? As I said, I was being on Twitter. Hey, recruits, you want to get seen? You want to play for the University of Michigan? You got to come to Michigan if you want to be seen, because people will watch them. That's I was just being a last night I was just being a butthole to everybody and to all the Ohio State people and Michigan State people, trolling Ohio State people and telling Michigan State people, yes, you beat us, but what happened down in Columbus? I mean, good God. I mean, did you guys even show up with your team? I just wanted to know where that happened. So
you got to tell them that win is meaningless. Yeah, it felt good for that week. But again, you gave us a great gift in losing that game to Purdue. Because if they would have beaten Purdue and still lost the way that they did to Ohio State, and there was a three-way tie, I believe it was Michigan State. Miz and I, one of the days on the playground, we went through like the fifth or sixth tiebreaker that it would go to with those three teams with one loss. And they gave us a great gift in Purdue and making that win over us null and void.
Okay, so you know that Aiden Hutchinson was Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Lineman of the Year, all Big Ten, along with David Ajabo, as well as Daxton Hill, all yep. Big Ten, first team. That being said, I just want to say this, and I don't know if you agree with this, Miz. We did this. Maddie, you were walking in the desert or climbing mountains in Arizona. But I was reading where people were saying that Mel Tucker should be coach of the year if he wins off the rest. If Jim Harbaugh turns around and wins, he should be coach of the year. So you guys understand the media and the coach named their coaches of the year. It was Mel Tucker. Just letting you know, it was no boo on that, Miz. Nothing from the crowd. I mean, look, I get it, but come on, really?
You know who else didn't win coach of the year? Lloyd Carr.
Who? Yeah, that's true.
You know who else didn't win coach of the year? Urban Meyer. You know who else didn't win coach? I mean, Jamie, there's a whole list of coaches that should have won coach of the year that never did. And honestly, here you go. Here's your consolation trophy right here, Mel Tucker. Hey, at least you can put that on your wall. You can hang that on your wall.
In your brand new house that Michigan State gave you $9.5 million a year.
That I'm pretty sure you had a nice little snowball stuffed with money war with that dude from Penn State. James, I appreciate your thoughts, Franklin. So, at the end of the day, I mean, cool. Hey, Mel Tucker, cool. You're Big Ten coach of the year. Cool. Great. Everyone out there, East Lansing, keep using that hashtag Tuck coming. Yeah, Tuck coming to a bowl game in Florida near you that's not the college football playoff. Tuck coming, not
to
the Rose Bowl.
No,
Tuck coming,
not
to Indianapolis.
Anybody enjoy it, Matt. You're wrong, and you shouldn't say that. Jim Harbaugh is the Big Ten coach of the year, and that's what it should be. I don't care what you say about, let him have it. I gave him the game. I didn't talk about the referees. I didn't yell about the referees. This is a disservice to Jim Harbaugh because he should be coach of the year. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it go, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Screw that. I don't care. Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the year for the Big Ten in the Jamie Moore's Coach of the Year Award. So we're going to give him a little Coach of the Year Award and send it over there to Shim Beckel-Hall.
In the Matt Leach Award, I'm sure the Miz Award, they would all go to Jim Harbaugh. He won the Big Ten East, which included Michigan State and Mel Tucker. The difference we have, again, they have the one more loss on their season. We both came off of horrendous years last year. They had the Michigan win to hang their hat on, but we both had terrible years last year. We both had really good years. Ours obviously just a little bit better. Had really good years this year, and to me the main difference is just Mel Tucker's in year two versus Jim being a little more tenured here at Michigan. So that and the fact that he won the head-to-head is the only reason why I can see is why they would give Mel Tucker the nod. So Jamie, it's great. Congratulations to them. You might go to that New Year's Six Bowl. You might get all these things. But like Miz says, we're playing for the Big Ten Championship. We are playing for a shot at that college football playoff. No. And if our coach makes it there, and somehow if he wins, maybe not even winning one of the playoff games, but it certainly, I think if he wins one playoff game, he will no doubt be National Coach of the Year. And at that point, who cares who the Big Ten gives it to?
Now, see, now in the Matt Missler Coach of the Year poll, Jim Harbaugh's number two, Ryan Day's number one, because I want to channel my inner Sam Webb here. You helped us. You helped Michigan whoop that ass. You helped Michigan whoop that ass. I got to lose my voice to do it, but you catch my drift here, though.
Right, right. Apparently, you were you are close enough to the stadium to scream at because everybody lost their voice on that on this past weekend. But that being said, look, it's a disservice for me. It's a disservice. I'm not giving Mel Tucker a damn thing because he didn't took everything else. Obviously, look, I get it, and it's great. James Franklin, congratulations. Look, what we need to worry about is. Obviously, we need to worry about Iowa because everybody's coming off of this euphoria of beating Ohio State, which they should. But as I said, got to refocus things. Got to get ready because you got a game this week. You got something you haven't had after Ohio State game in 9 years. Well, 10 years, really. I mean, you haven't had to have a game. You haven't had to have a game. So that being said, you got to get ready for a game because you know what? What happens after a big game? What happens after a big game? You get
let
beat.
Down.
You get beat because you're not ready. You think you're the king of the world, my evident Michigan State. Okay? That being said, evident Ohio State. They beat the hell out of Michigan State, showed the world we're the greatest, believed everybody that told them how great they were, came to Ann Arbor, didn't know about the weather, didn't check the weather. They just thought, hey, we gonna take off our cape and we're gonna play Superman. That's about it. And somebody threw kryptonite in the room. I don't know who, but hey, must have been Michigan. I don't know. That being said, Jim Harbaugh is the damn, well, it's nothing about being a nerd. Everybody gets that except for you.
Hey, I get it too. I guess that means I'm a nerd also, J-Mo. Anyway, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Jim Harbaugh should be Big Ten Coach of the Year. It you know, to any Michigan fan, it's clear. We didn't have a letdown. We had one game that we gave away that we should have won in East Lansing. They capitalized on every one of our mistakes, and every single one that they needed to capitalize, they did. And they won the game. But we had one tough loss. They had a bad loss against a Purdue team after a big win, and then a drubbing by Ohio State. So, I think Michigan fan thinks it's clearly us.
I'm sorry to Jake Moody because I did not. He also was all Big Ten, and he won the kicker award. So I just for all Big Ten. So Jake Moody, congratulations to you too.
Someone explain to me how Jake Moody? How Jake Moody wins kicker of the year for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But is third special team as far as he's third team special team in the Big Ten. Someone explain that one to me.
I was getting to that, Miz. I was getting to that.
Like, also explain to me how the hell Aiden Hutchinson is defensive lineman of the year and is a Nagurski Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, he's not nominated for National Player of the Year, National Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
So we'll explain that one to me. Hey, Thibodeau, how's that arm doing? How are you doing over there in Oregon? Hey, young man down in Alabama, how would you fare against Auburn last week? I've got a lot of questions for these national media members right now. I'm a little salty about this whole situation. Also, for you damn Heisman voters as well, too, if you don't have 97 in your program, number one in your heart, number one in the damn country right now, according to a lot of NFL mock drafts right now, if he's not in New York, we got a lot of problems. A lot of problems. A lot of problems.
He'd probably get taken number two because the Lions ain't taking.
Pro Football Focus got Aiden Hutchinson at number one.
I know. And they're Grady. I know what you're saying. I'm saying in the draft, if you think about it, the Lions don't draft too many Michigan players because the pressure is to make them play or let them play or whatever they need to do. They do need some help on the defensive side. They should. Look, if anything, they should take a deep dive into Aiden Hutchinson and see if he's a type of player that they would like to have on their team. I don't know why.
If they don't draft him, sell the team. Get rid of, just send the team out of town. Just get out of town. Don't even come back to Detroit. We'll implode Ford Field for you. We'll clear that out for DCFC to take over that stadium because
where are we going to move them?
I don't care.
Where are we going to move them?
To the sun. I don't give a damn at this point.
We're going to move them down to New Orleans. Got to move them down to New Orleans.
Man, the Saints don't need another. New Orleans don't need two teams, damn it. I'm telling you right now. You want moving to another team? Moving to St. Louis, okay? St. Louis apparently hungry for another football team.
I like that.
They want a failure of a team. Hey, go ahead. We'll give them to you. We'll give them to you. That's perfectly fine. We'll give them to you for a discount. Just give us Tree Fitty. Give us $3.50. That's all we need. That's all we want. Take the team. Take the Fords. Take Dan Campbell and his fetish for kneecaps. Take them all. You don't draft Aiden Hutchinson number one overall. Get out of town. We'll move DCFC into Ford Field. Sell out every game. Boom. Take that, you dig. I'm on fire today, Jamie.
That's good. That's what I want to hear. You came in and now we're ready. I think we're ready now. I think we're ready.
Jamie, I got to ask you because, you know, I was reviewing that Big Ten list because you're talking about obviously being upset about Harbaugh not being named Coach of the Year. You know, I was happy that there were some players that I think were recognized for their play. A guy like Brad Hawkins, who I thought had an incredible year, but flew under the radar because of all the other big names that were 13. On this defense.
I mean, you had some guys 13. You had Josh Ross, Vincent Gray, and Brad Hawkins. I think maybe little Josh Ross is a little low. And I'm talking, and this is the media. I'm talking media, Matt.
Yeah,
I'm not just talking. There's coaches. There's the coaches, and there's the media, okay? Yep. Now, if you want to talk, first team are Aiden Hutchinson on the coaches' side, Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo, and Daxton Hill. Honorable mention, not even on second team, third team. Honorable mention are Christopher Hinton, Josh Ross, Mozzie Smith, and DJ Turner. I mean, I'm just saying, and then on special teams, Miz, the coaches have Jake Moody first team. The coaches do. Third team is AJ Henning, and honorable mention is Brad Robinson. The media has Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo as first team defense, second team, Daxton Hill, and then third team are Ross, Gray, and Hawkins. Honorable mention are Chris Hinton, Mozzie Smith, DJ Turner, and then on special teams, they got Jake Moody, the one Miz said. Third team, Jake Moody, and third team, AJ Henning. And then honorable mention is Brad Robinson, which really gets under my skin. And you guys know why. His father is a teammate of mine. But that kid kicked his butt off. That kid boomed those balls. And he had him down inside the 10 many a times. I'm just saying.
He's an amazing coffin punter. You know, I think he, you know, with him, with the amount of punts that he had this year, as far as inside the 10, inside the 5, how he's not even on, how he's just only an honorable mention is that's a slap in the face. Again, Jake Moody, how are you third team according to the media? That's a slap in the face, especially when you've got a dude that isn't even listed on the National Kicker of the Year. He's first team. Explain that one to me. The two that are up for the National Kicker of the Year are second team and third team. The one that won out, the one the game, is third team. Well, explain that one to me. Also, how is Dax Hill second team? Media, you or coaches, you want to explain that one to me? Were you too busy, you know, sniffing the butt, the backside of Ryan Day and Mel Tucker and James Franklin and PJ Fleck and everyone else, Mr. Frost as well too, Scott Frost? Y'all been sniffing their backside and say, ah, man, there's better safeties all over the joint. Where are you at? What the hell's going on here? Explain this one to me. I want answers.
Matt, here's one I need you to address right now. It's a tough one, and you got 3 minutes to tell me what you think. Josh Gattis committed an ultimate sin. He said, and I quote, this is what he said on the opening drive. They're a good team, but they're a finesse team. They're not a tough team. We knew that going in, that we could out-physical them. They're not a tough team. What is Josh Gattis out there saying, and why is he saying that about a team they haven't beaten in years? And you can say what you want because you're the victor. But remember, you got to play that team again. You don't skip a year unless you got a pandemic. You don't skip a year. You got to go to Columbus, and you got to play that team again. So what do you say about what Josh Gattis said?
Like you said, to the victor goes the spoils. And, you know, our head coach had a little something to say after the game. I don't know what the context it was. I think everybody in the world understood it.
They're still asking if you're on third base, you hit a triple. I mean,
it's again, if you don't understand it, then that says all we need to know about you right there. So, you know, again, people, I don't know what the context of quote came out of. People were asking him about the game or the game plan. How did you go into the game? They were confident. Obviously, they were confident in their game plan and being able to out physical Ohio State. That was going to be the game plan no matter what. And even if you look at some of our trick plays, again, a very under talked about play because it wasn't one of Hassan Haskins' 5 touchdown. The Statue of Liberty to my boy AJ Henning coming around the end. Everything that we did was physical and we took it to him and it worked. We've seen Michigan try to do this before and we haven't been able to. And they recognized this year that was their advantage.
But no. That's goody. You put some sugar on that one. But no, that comes around next year. That tells Ohio State, get physical. That tells Ohio State, they'll use that as ammunition for next year. And say it. Please say it. Go ahead and do it. When it comes around and they put it back in your mouth and say you weren't physical, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Right now, you sugarcoated everything I asked you, but hey, you're a Michigan fan through and through.
I'm confident in our offensive line that they'll be able to do it again next year.
Let's go to a break. And we got Greg Skrepinick coming on the other side. I'll ask him what a Michigan player feels about that. We'll see what he has to say. You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.